I'm actually going to touch a little bit on a couple of things, but most importantly, although this slide shows the big umbrella picture, the mouse here, okay. Right, yeah. So we do a lot of things on the remote sensing side of stuff to understand the water and energy cycle. But most importantly, we look into the scale issues of the water and energy cycle that we measure on the ground at a much finer scale. And a lot of our processes, of course, are happening at the much finer scale. So we need to understand the physics correct and how to scale up to the level of satellite or airborne footprint. That is one of our major focus area over the years. But what I'm going to focus today beyond this, no satellite, only on the pore scale processes. But just to, before going there, I would like to show the urgency of the research, because we are talking about water. This is a nice view of our water resources. If you look at, you take out all the water from the ocean and everything, all the blue tint, and pull them together, your big bulb, that is what is the total water that resides in our world. But the little dot there next to it near Georgia, that is actually our fresh water. So essentially that is the water that is available to us for drinking purposes, including glaciers, rivers, and everything everywhere on the ground. So that is scary. So we need to understand how to conserve, how to maintain, how to model the water resources. This was a symposium we organized a few months ago focusing on the urgency, because there was just a science magazine paper came out in February showing that our globe is going to be, with the climate change, is going to be much drier with time. So in other words, there'll be more areas that will be semi-arid and arid and hyper-arid regions. So in those cases, some of these processes that I listed there are going to be more important. So essentially, for example, these locations are going to be having this low and erratic precipitation, intensive radiation, of course, high temperature and wind speed. Evaporation is going to be significant. And important aspect is the ratio between the low precipitation to evaporation, that is your aridity, that is how it is going to be evolved. And of course, the dynamic component of runoff versus infiltration, that is what we look in as soil scientists, that how this infiltration is going to change and how it is going to be behaving in the overall context of watershed or regional scale hydrology. And so that is the list, but I just want to touch and give a little example in perception about how this is going to affect the catchment scale or urban flooding, for example. This is a flood that happened in Tucson, Arizona. You can see the two pictures side by side, and just a day before and day after, and this, because of the hydrology and the upper catchment happened, so that is where we have this huge flash flood. And one of the reasons why you are looking at all this is that your soil infiltration capacity is pretty significantly affecting your flow processes in this kind of context. And we need to understand how this is affecting and what are the governing processes in this kind of dry, arid climate that is going to have this kind of significant extreme conditions in our landscapes. So with that, let me move on to the topic that I'm going to talk today, which is a little more finer and more finer than what I presented the rationale about. But if we look at the coupled water and heat transport, it has been attended, but not well attended yet. If you look at the processes, we have to look into the evaporation or condensation. And these are the governing drivers here, your temperature, your hydraulics, your pressure. So these are the things that drive your water below the ground. So if you put them together, this is how they move in the night versus the day. So essentially, you are looking at the thermal aspect, you are looking at the isothermal aspect, and you are looking at the advective vapor and your liquid as they move in the ground in a opposite manner between day and night. But typically, we do the science individually. We just take into account capillarity or temperature or something else. We don't account for them together. But the reality is that all these processes are driving the drivers in between. So that is why you have to look into how the temperature is affecting the capillarity and how the capillarity is pushing the vapor. All the things need to be joined together to understand the cycles of your water and energy in tandem. So basically, we are looking into the water, we look into the phase changes, that is vapor, So that governs your evaporation and condensation, and eventually that is your energy. So this is one of the pictures we borrowed from somebody, but we tried to modify it from Lehman. That is where we are trying to look at, and they have looked at the soil surface of the interfaces. Basically, that is how the water and vapor are moving across the land surface to the atmosphere. The second part is your fluid-fluid interface. That is where you have to look into the water and vapor in the system, or air and water vapor. And so all these different processes that govern below the ground and above the ground, and in this particular case, we are looking below the ground. And another aspect that has been dealt with, but not as much, is the material interfaces. So you have to look into the layerings that happens because of your soil textural differences, or in a lateral manner if you have heterogeneity in soils, for example, in both horizontal and vertical manner. So in this particular presentation, I'm going to touch on the second and third aspect, which is the fluid-fluid interface and the material interface. So in this case, I just want to give a little brief history about what has been done over the years and what is not done and what we have to do. So this is your vapor aspect, that the liquid is moving. So the original equation was done by Philip and Devry in 1957. So they are looking into the thermal vapor and liquid flow, and the isothermal vapor and liquid flow. Later on, Mealy came in 1982 and addressed the layered soil systems with hysteresis. And subsequently, Cahill and Parlanch looked into the airflow aspect. And subsequently, more recently, we are looking into the phase transfer as the water is transferring from liquid to the vapor. So that is more done by more recent years by Smits et al. So these are the important aspects that how we have to deal with this energy and water cycle below the ground, and we need to understand carefully to improve our science here. I don't want to go through the equations, but these are the main, the crux of the air flow, the water flow and the heat balance in the subsurface. So what we have to do here, we have to solve three different equations, one for water flow to conserve the water. We have to solve at the same time the heat balance equation, and the third one, you have to do the gas balance equation, because that is your advective forces that gives you pressurizing your system to push the vapor out. So we have to solve this equation. So, but whether we are doing that yet or not, that is our issue. So I'll just want to give you the perspective. PDB model, that is the original model, doesn't account for film flow, which is much more prominent these days. And when we're talking about arid zone or semi-arid conditions, water is not going to be fill the pore spaces. It is going to be attached to the body of the particles. So film flow is going to be important. That was ignored. Advective gas flow was also ignored before. So that is also another aspect. Local thermodynamic and equilibrium assumption has always been there. So that is not kinetics. So it is not going to be, it is more instantaneous than kinetics. And at the same time, we have not looked into the horizontally heterogeneous systems, because you are talking about large landscapes. So you have preferential evaporation, just like we talk preferential flow that goes downward as infiltration. Similarly, because of your textural differences and other things, it could be preferential evaporation could happen at the same time. So that we need to account for. So in this particular case, our objective is to understand all these different processes by comparing and adding sequentially, systematically, these different processes, capillary flow, film flow, vapor flow, phase changes. That way we can see how the systematic changes will add to the value and skill for our models. So this is an experiment I conducted with a couple of our friends here, but in Riverside. This is actually an experiment to measure the water content as well as the soil temperature and pressure simultaneously across a large field, where we are trying to monitor the, as I said, simultaneously the water content, the temperature, as well as the pressure. And then we control the input of the water by maintaining a sprinkler system, where you can know how much we are inputting, and we can design our experiments that way in a large field like this. So we have like about 50 or 100 ports, and each port has multiple layers of measurements of this simultaneous water and energy. So this is what we have done now using those data sets. Now, let me go through a little more sequence what we have done. In this particular aspect, we are trying to start with the capillary flow. Now we added film flow into this. So in this capillary plus film flow, so we have adopted Fair and Siemens model for adding this capillary aspect in the Jiang and Tokunaga model to address this capillary plus the film flow aspect. So this is what we are trying to do here, which is described by Kerr Plume. So essentially, this particular physics is taking care of your capillary movement as well as your film flow. So this is our data set that we gathered from the field I showed you, and this is your, these lines are showing the observed data, or the bullets are showing the observed data, and the black line shows the film flow included, and the red line shows the no film flow. So in other words, just the capillary flow. So by adding film flow, it did not enhance as much the soil moisture dynamics in that particular field. And also at the same time, we are showing the evaporation rate and the cumulative evaporation here, so there is not much change. As I go further a little bit, maybe I can just demonstrate this part. Maybe if you look at the dry end, very dry end, you can see there is some differences in the values there at that point. But in general, it doesn't make a huge difference at that point in the intermediate or wet zone. Next one, we go, now we know we have added the capillary flow and now film flow. Next one is going to be airflow. So we are trying to add the airflow by adding these equations. So basically we taken the liquid and vapor flow balance, and now heat balance is there. The gas balance is based on your driver, which is your air pressure. So that is the third component that we are showing, capillary, film, and now airflow. So in this way, our prediction improves. If you look at the black line now, now capillary flow is there, film flow is there, now vapor flow is also there. That is the driver because of the air pressure. You can see there is subtle improvement in both soil moisture content as well as your evaporative flux. So that essentially improves your predictive skill right there by adding this process. So in other words, so this airflow model has improved the PDV model with film flow and airflow. Now we move on to the capillary flow, film flow, airflow is there. Now we are adding the phase change. So essentially this is your where your liquid flow translate to gas or the air vapor, water vapor. So now by adding this new component where we are trying to do this below the ground, the vapor flow happens near the land surface. And by accounting that, we are trying to showcase that by, so now these are the four equations, heat balance, gas balance, liquid, water flow, as well as vapor balance, using that Smith et al. Non-equilibrium model. We are showing that your overall prediction further improves. So basically you have the PDV model with film flow, PDV model with film flow and airflow model, third one now the non-equilibrium flow with the phase changes. So essentially we are showing systematically how your soil moisture prediction as well as evaporation rate is enhanced or better predicted by adding these different processes in a dry condition. We are talking about arid kind of conditions. So overall, it showcases that the data set that we observe in a controlled condition in a large field are better predicted in those kind of systems by adding some of this systematically, some of those processes that can capture the water and vapor. And where I started was when you talk about satellite remote sensing, and the threshold is about 4% or less than 4% accuracy you have to attain. So by adding the vapor flow itself is going to enhance the capability of the remote sensing platforms, that how much you can predict, how much you can observe. Because typically the microwave emission that happens, it just captures the liquid part because of the dielectric property, so there is some error there. So if we add the vapor flow component in our systems, that may even capture the soil moisture dynamics in the large landscapes much better. So that is one of the reasons why we are trying to do this, and particularly with the idea that more aridity is going to happen in the global context for the future. So with that, I'll just try to conclude with a little more some of the things that we are trying to show here. The PDV model, PDV plus film flow, and systematically as we go and add these different processes, we enhance the capability of our models to better predict in the dry regions of our water, for the water flow. If the soil is not very dry, it is reasonable to ignore the film flow. But if it is kind of dry range, then you have to add that. The airflow effect is important in the riverside side where we store the data sets. And the model taking into account of non-equilibrium phase change effect is most complicated but is most accurate. That is what we have shown. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.